You Doing a normal startup.
Yeah. No, do amazing. Forget normal. Crank it up.
Welcome to the MacGuffin Men. This episode is brought to you by ancient civilizations depicted on film. Of course, we all sounded British.
And now, here are Alex and James.
Welcome to the MacGuffin Men. And I'm giving a very energetic intro because I was instructed to by my co-podcaster, James. I'm Alex. With me is James.
Yeah.
I'm excited about doing this intro.
Clearly. Mm. I like it. I think we got a good one.
Yeah? Okay, good. Let's move on before it sounds like I hate you again.
Okay. Were you with me when we went to Nuit Blanche that year and they were selling like corn on the cob?
No, I think that was the year you went with Graham.
Okay. So I didn't see that they were selling corn at the time, but there was a garbage can, like one of the normal ones that are downtown Toronto, and it had been filled with like husks of corn and corn.
Oh, I did see this at this past Nuit Blanche, okay. Which you weren't at actually, but yeah.
Okay. Mm. And I just remember seeing like dozens of people around this garbage can, like taking pictures of it. And there was a crowd around, so I went to go see what it was. And I heard a bunch of people like, oh, is this an art? Like, is this installation? Is this a thing? Should I be taking pictures of this? Is this cool? And no one really knew. And that's kind of something that happens with modern art and Nuit Blanche in general. People aren't sure if they're looking at an installation or a pile of garbage that just happens to collect in a certain place.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit of a comment on where modern art is right now. If you're looking at something, if you don't know if it's art or an accidentally gathered pile of garbage.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's a, you know, it that reminded, when we were watching this week's movie, which was
Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yeah, that reminded me of seeing that and going to, you know, modern art museums and seeing people question, you know, is this a fire alarm or is this a commentary about, you know, the moral panic and
or is it a commentary about fires or alarms?
Alarms, yeah.
Or the art of making fire alarm art.
Could go anyway. Mm. Yeah, I mean, modern art's just kind of at this place where people make it accidentally, it seems sometimes, or people come across something that they take as art and this person literally thought it was garbage when they were constructing it or throwing it out, what have you. And Exit to the Gift Shop really is a lot about modern art, really focused mostly on street art.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Came out last year. It was sort of a thing on the internet last year. Everybody was talking about Exit to the Gift Shop on blogs and stuff for like, I don't know, 2 months or so.
Yeah. I was going to ask you how you heard of this movie.
I don't know. I think maybe just sort of Banksy movie. And then I was like, cool. I'm intrigued.
And did you know a lot about Banksy before?
Enough, yeah.
Enough?
Yeah.
Okay, just for people who maybe don't know anything or just know the name and not really...
Banksy is a presumably British street artist. He is basically, I guess to really boil it down, the most famous graffiti artist in the world, probably.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, which, I mean, doesn't get you a lot of fame, but it's a kind of fame. And I don't know, is art's a good time. I mean, I'm not one to critique any sort of art that isn't, you know, movies, but...
Yeah, we should just throw this caveat out right now that neither of us really know art, particularly modern art, very well.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
The most I know about any sort of art is the name of the four Ninja Turtles. So that's all I've got.
Yeah, just so if there is anybody there who has studied art or really appreciates fine art or modern art or anything, we're going to miss a lot here, and we know this. Don't be like, why didn't you mention Jeff Koons? He's so important.
just open up an email now and start a list of things we get wrong.
But we're going to do our best here. And Banksy is very famous. I mean, as you said, he is the most famous graffiti artist, which, you know, who were the other ones, but he really has, and you see throughout this movie, he has reached quite a mainstream level of worldwide success.
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, about as famous as somebody like him can get, I think.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they mentioned in the film that street art, as the internet started, like the internet was the best thing to happen to street art because, I mean, this is very temporary work for the most part, especially like the stuff that's actually on the street, because it is graffiti, it will get washed off. And yeah, the internet really helped. And so, I mean, it's not hard to find a huge wealth of images of Banksy stuff or Shepard Fairey or any of the other artists that are in Exit Through the Gift Shop. And I mean, my one argument with you about, or I guess it's an argument with myself being the most famous, is that it might be Shepard Fairey because he did the Obama image.
Yeah. And we'll get to that. He did some other mainstream stuff too.
Yeah. I just think the Obama image was like one of the most famous things for like a year, you know, like one of the most famous images of a year. That was a pretty big deal,
but not a lot of people know his name, but anyway,
that's fair.
What's the movie about?
Well, it's weird, actually. It's a really interesting movie structurally. It's a documentary, and it starts off basically with this guy, Terry Guetta, I think is...
Yeah, Guetta. Yeah. We'll probably call him Thierry.
Yeah, we'll just call him Thierry. And he's just sort of... He's cousins with a street artist named Space Invader, and Terry happens to carry a camera around with him all the time, and it's really weird and obsessive. And
What kind of guy is Terry, besides the camera thing?
Well, he runs a clothing shop, and he seems to be... like, basically, he'll just buy garbage bags of clothing from, you know, design or wherever he can get them, and then try and mark it up as much as possible and call it designer. So it looks like he sort of tries to capitalize on whatever he can, it seems like.
And he's a French kind of artistic kind of guy, very I mean, he films everything, but he kind of speaks in very abstract kind of tones. Not a very practical guy in a lot of ways.
He's got very abstract facial hair in his interviews.
Yeah, so he goes to France at one point to meet with his cousin, Invader, who is a pretty famous, I mean, within that circle, pretty famous street artist. And Thierry, since he films everything, he films sometime, then he hangs out with Invader and films Invader putting some of his stuff up. And then through Invader, he meets some other street artists, starts filming them. And, you know, as you said, the internet and capturing these things makes them last because... as vandalism or graffiti, however you want to look at it, they get, you know, wiped out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And so these guys kind of do appreciate the idea of him being around so they can film the stuff and give their art a bit more life, because really the only way to see this kind of stuff is to, you know, fly to the country that these people do it, walk around enough and hope you find something, right? Without pictures of it.
Yeah. Or, you know, whenever they happen to do a show, should Banksy, you know, like when Banksy got to do a show, you go to that. But I mean, I think those are pretty few and far between for these guys.
Exactly. And the whole thing about Banksy reaching that level of success that we'll get to later was that it was kind of unheard of for a street artist to get there. So Thierry and Invader hang out. He kind of gets into the whole circle, into that culture of street art. At one point, Invader wants to go to the States to do some of his stuff there. So Thierry goes with him.
Thierry lives in California.
He lives in LA, but he goes back from France with him, and they spend some time in California together, you know, Invader putting his art up. And we meet some other people, and as you said, we meet Shepard Fairey, who is an American street artist.
Yes.
Thierry, kind of as cousins with Space Invader and kind of just working his way into this circle of street art, meets Shepard Fairey, and they get along. And, you know, Fairey sees the value in having this stuff get filmed. So,
yeah, basically the internet argument we've.
Yeah. And so, you know, Thierry, Invader, I guess, goes back home to France. And now it's just Thierry and Fairey. And, you know, going around.
And other artists. Shepard Fairey introduces him to a variety of other artists.
So this whole time that Thierry and Fairey are going around and, you know, meeting new street artists, the street artists aren't, you know, quick to embrace him because he's filming them committing crimes.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They're not super comfortable with them. And
there's that awesome shot of... Well, I mean, there's a couple parts where Shepard Fairey is telling Terry things to not do. Like when Terry turns on the light and Shepard Fairey just turns around and is just like, no, you got to turn that off.
Yeah.
And when he's like, shoot from the other side of the street. You know why we're doing this. Right?
So, I mean, they're committing crimes. So that's why they have to do this at night and be sneaky about it. And Terry's filming it all. And some people are a little apprehensive to have it around. To have him around filming, and Shepard Fairey asks Thierry, you know, what are you doing? Why are you filming all this? And he says that he's going to make a documentary about street art.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shepard Fairey really likes this idea. He's been in the world of street art for a long time, really wants to see it get its recognition. So he lets them film, and he lets Thierry film, and they film for a while. And, you know, traveling within this circle, he keeps hearing about Banksy, and Banksy's kind of the top guy, and he's a very mysterious guy. You never see his face throughout the whole movie. He works anonymously.
Or do we?
Okay. But, you know, he works anonymously, so it's really hard to get a hold of him because, again, these are crimes they're committing. So
yes.
You try to stay, you know, incognito. And eventually, as you, one day, Banksy and a partner that he travels with come to LA and they want to do some street art in LA. And what happens there?
Banksy's, you know, the guy that goes with Banksy kind of gets held up at customs and kind of can't do it, can't come to LA. So Banksy kind of needs somebody, and Shepard Fairey gives him, or gives Terry a call and says, hey, I've got Banksy here. And Terry sort of speeds on over. And,
yeah. And this is, you know, what's Terry really going to do for Banksy?
Film him, you know?
Yeah, films him. I mean, Thierry knows L.A. He's lived there for a long time. Banksy doesn't know L.A.
Yeah, that's true.
And Banksy says he's looking for someone to, you know, kind of give him a tour and show him where all the good walls are. So places that you can access that are really visible, you know, in blank. So Banksy has a place to, you know, put his street art. And how do the two of them get along, Banksy and Thierry?
They seem to get along all right. Yeah. You know, like Banksy just says, yeah, you can film me, just don't get my face and let me check the tapes afterwards. And that seems to be all, you know, the only requirement he has with him.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird pairing, but they seem to get along well enough. Yeah. And he doesn't, you know, betray him or anything. So things go well enough in LA. So when Banksy goes back to England, Thierry goes with him. And then they do kind of one of what I guess is one of Banksy's bigger or more famous works at the time was the murdered phone booth.
Yeah.
And what's that?
It's a, you know, like a red telephone booth like you would see in England.
Every establishing shot of England.
Yeah, exactly. It's the guy guarding Buckingham Palace in the red phone booth. But
maybe a double-decker bus driving behind it.
Yeah, that's true. The phone booth is like lying on the ground and kind of like bent upwards. And I don't know, I'm terrible at describing things visually, but it's cool, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, kind of just like a reworked phone booth.
Yeah, it's yeah. It's an installation more than, I guess, most of Banksy's stuff.
Yeah, suppose, yeah. Rather than just spray painting something, it really is something he kind of welded and engineered to look cool. And it gets attention, and Thierry just kind of films
the reactions.
Yeah, him doing Banksy putting it all together, putting it in the spot, and all the reactions to it. And, you know, presumably it's removed at some point, but now it can live on forever as it's been filmed.
And Banksy cites sort of a reason he likes having Thierry around at that point is, like, became apparent very quickly that the reactions to these things is the most interesting thing, and that's something I never get to see.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's fleeing the scene of the crime by the time people are noticing it, so he certainly does serve a function. Mm-hmm. And again, he now being part of the sort of the street art circles, he catches up with some more people in England, but eventually he goes back to LA and doesn't really have anyone to film anymore.
Oh, yeah, Thierry does.
Yeah, Thierry goes back to L.A. and Banksy stays in England. Yep. And so how does Thierry fill his time with this kind of restlessness that he now has?
He sort of starts doing his own type of street art, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He sort of makes a transparent image of himself holding a camera and just starts putting it all around L.A.
Yeah, and putting up that same image in posters and stickers as he's seen all these other street artists do.
Yep.
And he really seems to like it. It kind of becomes a bit of an addiction for him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Thierry's clearly an addictive guy with the camera and everything. And, you know, now he's kind of doing his own thing. And he doesn't really seem to be like a full-fledged street artist or anything, but he does want to keep doing this.
Yeah.
And then eventually Banksy gets this offer to do his Barely Legal show.
Yes.
Which is, you know, how is that different than the things he's been doing up until this point?
Well, it's sort of like a gallery thing. It's like, this is where Banksy art will be, and it will be here from, you know, this time to this time, and you can come in the doors and look at it.
You know? And no one's going to be cleaning it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very different from how people are used to consuming Banksy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He rents out this huge warehouse, and it's a, you know, a massive building with all the, you know, he's got installations, he's got pictures, he's even got a big painted elephant.
Yes.
And
yeah, I don't know. Were there other installations? Like, how big was the space? It didn't look that huge in the movie. It looked like an art studio for sure, like a gallery show.
But yeah, definitely bigger than what he's used to working.
More than one work.
Yeah. And so Banksy comes back to California to, you know, start preparing this and getting some ideas and finding a space that is comfortable for him. And Banksy and Thierry meet up in the meantime because, you know, they're established pretty well as friends now.
Yeah.
And they go for a nice little trip to Disneyland, don't
they? Oh, yeah. This part's awesome.
How's that go for them?
Well, it was great. And, well, it was great for me because they sort of, this is around Guantanamo Bay time, and Banksy has
the saddest kids show ever. Yeah. Guantanamo Bay time.
Well, at least we'll have Barney on a loop.
True. Referencing our own podcast.
We're not above it. Oh, yeah. So they go to Disneyland, and Banksy sort of makes this blow up Guantanamo Bay prisoner.
Yeah, the typical, you know, the orange jumpsuit with the hood over the head.
Yeah. And Banksy picks a ride, which looks like the Great Railroad or whatever that ride is called, and sort of like sneaks in and finds a spot where the sign says, like, this would be a great place to take some pictures or something.
Yeah.
And he sneaks in and sort of blows up this Guantanamo Bay, you know, balloon, I guess you could call it. And, and then sort of sneaks away, and Terry gets some pictures as the ride is going past it. And the images in the movie are really funny of that. But,
yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Disney gets pissed off pretty quickly and the ride shuts down the ride, which is hilarious.
The ride eventually stops. Yeah. And it's not on the tracks. It's not causing a danger. But no. So, yeah, they shut it down and, you know, remove it. They catch Thierry, but Banksy gets away, right?
Yeah, Banksy's going on rides.
Yeah, Banksy changes out of his clothes, so if they watch the videotape or something, like security cams, they won't know who it looks like, and he wears a mask and stuff. So Banksy's fine off on his own, but security does catch Thierry.
Yeah.
And how's their meeting go?
Well, Terry ends up getting out of it. He deletes all of the images on his digital camera and was able to stash the tape from his video camera in his sock. And Disney cops never checked him for it. And, I mean, Banksy was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, the guards grilled Terry pretty hard and he never cracks under it. And as you said, Banksy is super pleased and he knows, you know, if it ever comes down to it, this guy's not going to bail me out.
Yeah.
And so Banksy really, really trusts this guy. I mean, they're already friends, but this kind of really solidifies everything.
Yeah.
After this, they have the barely legal show. They actually hold it. It's all completed. And
yeah, the next day, right?
I think so, yeah. And again, huge success. Like, I mean, it's a success that Banksy could even go from street art to having this
absolutely
big gallery show in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But not even that, but it really goes off really well. He sells a bunch of stuff and tons of like celebrities and media there.
Yep.
I think we saw Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah,
and
Jude Law was there. I don't know if he was at that show or the later show.
Okay. It
comes later in the movie, but Jude Law's in the
movie. Yeah, it's big. I mean, it's on the cover of LA Weekly and it's a huge hit and everything's great. And then the question of the street art documentary comes up again.
Yes.
And I don't know if we really mentioned this too much, but Thierry is filming everything under the pretense of having a documentary coming out at some point.
Yeah. But the tapes are just going into bins. A lot of them aren't labeled, and there's a scene at one point in the documentary where it's just, you go into Terry's tape room and it's just horrifying. Like, just all these 1 hour tapes, unlabeled, in plastic bins, and it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, and this is his whole life. I mean, this isn't just his street art footage that he have to go through. It's his whole life with little bits of street art footage interspersed within all that. I mean, it's a total nightmare as far as having to actually put a movie together.
Yes.
But Banksy asks him to put the movie together.
Yeah. And Terry puts together something that is apparently terrible. Like, we only get to see about 45 seconds of it. But I mean, I don't really want to see much more of it. Banksy describes it as someone just changing channels constantly for 90 minutes.
Deems it unwatchable.
Yes. Yeah. And it's pretty funny. Banks's reaction to it is funny as well.
Yeah. And then at this point, there's kind of this role reversal, which doesn't make too much sense to me, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Where Banksy says, I'll edit the tape, give me all your footage, and I'll put together a real street art documentary. And you stay busy by doing your own street art.
Yeah. Go home, do some more art, maybe have a little show.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Exactly. So now Thierry's the street artist, and, you know, this isn't too much of a stretch for him, as he was kind of doing it voluntarily before, so it's not that much of a big deal. And he really goes all out. He remortgages his house to buy all this equipment and hire all these assistants to help him, and he goes full tilt on the street art thing.
Yes, he does.
He gets Banksy and Shepard Fairey to help him out a little bit with some advice and stuff. And then when it comes time for the show, he gets a quote from both of them to really hype it up in LA, say, I'm finally having a show. And what name does Thierry take?
Mr. Brainwash.
Yeah. So he makes kind of a stylized image of himself and Mr. Brainwash, puts that everywhere, along with all the quotes he got from Banksy and Shepard Fairey. And this is kind of underway, and this looks like it's going to be sort of like a follow-up to Banksy's show.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's still street art. It's got Banksy's blessing. It's this guy who's a friend of Banksy. So it's got a lot of a hype from a show that was really just successful. And how does Thierry do when time comes for the show?
Well, I mean, it's a huge success. Like,
people yeah, but
everywhere.
I mean, as far as his work well, habits.
well, he seems to be a bit more concerned with hyping up the show more than a lot of the actual art. Because, I mean, even the day the show is opening, he's doing interviews while people are like, you need to come tell us where to hang these things. This is yeah. your art. You know, like, you're an artist. You're supposed to care about this.
And, yeah, and he's just doing interviews and publicity. And even the works themselves, he kind of just had a lot of the people on his team do them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's his explanation at one point in the movie is that, look, I'm the artist. I come with the idea and I explain it to them and then they make it happen. You know, yeah. Something like that.
And the show's a huge success. He sells a bunch of prints, sells a bunch of work.
Yep, makes like almost $1 million in like a week, I think it is, once the show opens.
So, you know, tons of people showing up, huge lineups, again, celebrities, all that stuff, and really well represented in the media as far as how big the show was, how important it was, and how great it was, and how well it turned out. And then the movie ends.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. No. Kidding.
I got a bunch of things.
You look
devastated.
About.
No, I got things. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where the movie ends. Mr. Brainwash continues working. He did the cover for Madonna's
Greatest Hits.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, her 2009 album called Celebration, which...
Oh, yeah. Sorry. My bad.
Okay.
Maybe it's a celebration of Madonna. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. And things are going well. I mean, and Banksy is still working. The movie was received pretty well, right?
No, very well. I mean, I thought it was, at worst, probably the third best movie of last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and got nominated for Best Documentary.
Blows my mind how it didn't win. Like,
well, I have some ideas about how it didn't win.
I understand why it didn't win, but to say that that was not the best documentary last year, shenanigans, especially when you say Inside Job was a better movie than it. Come on. Inside Job, the story's not over. You know, like, yeah. We're not out of the crisis yet. I don't know how you can win the award yet.
So, not because of this movie, but more so because of what happened in this movie with all these shows, street art is kind of mainstream and taken very seriously now, and it's a big business, and it has, you know, it really has carved out this niche in modern art where it's something that really has to be, you know, respected.
Yeah.
Just to go back to
I think it was on its way there without this movie, though. I mean,
oh yeah, definitely. But as I said, it was the things that happened in the span of this movie that really sent it to the top.
Fair enough.
Shepard Fairey, again, just to go back to that, he's reached huge levels of success. And again, this isn't just because of this movie, but this has been building up for a while. But he started, you know, just as a normal artist and has a lot of success now. Just like Mr. Brainwash, he got to do some album covers. Mm-hmm. He did Will.i.am's album cover.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Must Be 21. Okay. He did one of the posters for Walk the Line. Do you know that one?
Is it sort of like the really stylized one, though?
Yeah, it's Johnny Cash's back, turning the guitar on the back.
Yeah, that's cool.
Lance Armstrong rode a bike styled by Shepard Fairey. And, of course, most famously was the Obama poster.
Yes.
He got in a little bit of trouble with that because he took the Associated Press's picture and just kind of stylized it.
Yep.
But the campaign for Obama, shockingly, loved it. Like, he used that picture all the time. Actually, the original one he did, it said progress on the bottom.
Yeah.
And they had him change it to hope because that was Obama's whole jam at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, he got a personal letter from Barack Obama saying, like, I really appreciate this and your support and everything you're doing. And Shepard Fairey kind of took all the money he made from that and just put it back in to buy more posters and stickers and hand them out for free.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
He seems like a pretty decent guy.
Yeah, he seems like a very smart, reasonable, grounded dude for like a crazy artist type. Yeah. But he seems like a great guy, and he's, you know, reaches really high levels of success doing pretty much exactly what he wants to do. He is taking corporate gigs, as I've been stating. Some people give him some criticism about that, you know, saying, like, you're all about art for the people, but you're taking these contracts from Saks Fifth Avenue, but that's the art world, I think. Yeah. And I think it's cool to point out that he got his start in skateboarding. Like, he would start doing skateboard designs, putting his stickers and stuff on skateboarding, and kind of like Spike Jonze, who also got his start in skateboarding.
Yeah, skate videos, and from that, music videos. And
yeah. But it makes sense that kind of this, I mean, I see a lot of connections between street art and skateboarding, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, skateboarding is not a crime, you know, like stuff like that. Whereas many people view street skateboarding as a type of vandalism, because you kind of are doing some sort of vandalism if you're grinding on like a bench or something, you know, and or you're trespassing, or, you know, a variety of things. So, I mean, there's sort of that... you've got to know when you got to pick your spots, basically.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, be it skate spots or spots that won't get you arrested.
Yeah, so, but you're right, though. I think there's a total overlap between the two. It's kind of something that you do in a public space, and you kind of make it your own, and people are kind of subjected to whatever you're doing. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they just have to see it. And, you know, skateboarding, that was kind of one of the things that I think still makes it kind of cool and edgy to people. It's not like you're relegated to your own zone. I mean, I know there's skate parks, but for a lot of people, it's like there isn't a place you go and do this elsewhere. Like, you just go to the world. Like, you just take over an urban space and you kind of do it, which is so much of what street art is, and a lot of vandalism and graffiti, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that ties in pretty well with kind of why Obama really liked this. It kind of seemed like this bottom-heavy, like, grassroots kind of thing, like... this artist skateboarder dude made this image, and, you know, we're gonna change, you know, this Republican Guard thing.
We're rebuilding from the ground up.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I think it makes sense for Shepard Fairey to come from a place like that. And I think he does a good job of summing up a lot of what people like about street art, and, you know, where it is today.
Yeah.
What do you think of Mr. Brainwash? Do you think he's a real artist?
Like, how do you mean? Like,
yeah, again, to all those art fans out there, like, what is art is not a question we're going to pretend to try and tackle. But I think the way that this film's put together, especially near the end, and the way that Banksy talks about it, I mean, at one point near the end, and this part's really funny, he says, I used to encourage everybody to try street art.
Or try making art. You know,
yeah, then there's this long pause, and he says, I don't do that much anymore. And it's funny, and I mean, I think... a lot of people take away from this movie that Mr. Brainwash, like, is kind of this imposter, or just this sort of con man who made his way into the art world without paying his dues. I think that's kind of one way they try to frame it, is that he just made this up, like, that I'm going to decide to be an artist, even though I'm not really an artist, and I'm just going to enter this world with enough confidence and mystique and do it.
Yep.
Do you think that it's kind of undeserved, that criticism, or?
Well, I mean, that's not really... it's not so much criticism of him as a person as it is criticism of how, you know, like, having some sort of rules, like unspoken rules of how these things are done.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I know. Because it's kind of like, is this guy just a total hack? Or, you know, is he exploiting these people who are just trying to catch up with the newest, coolest thing and don't really have any idea about art? Is it just like... oh, well, Brad Pitt's going to these shows, so I want to go and get kind of involved with this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some things people point to about him not being a real artist are the things we've touched on about him not doing a lot of the work and making his team and assistants do it. And that one scene in his, I guess, studio when he's holding that, he's got this art textbook, it looks like. And there's just, like, thousands of post-it notes in it, as though he, like, he just goes in, sees something good that someone else has done, and then just changes it slightly and makes it his own.
Yeah, just, like, gives notes on these pictures in this book and gives them to his graphic designer, and, you know.
Yeah, exactly, which, again, we're not going to touch what is art, but that kind of seems not to be the epitome of an artistic person.
The thing I found interesting, and I think probably why I like the movie so much, is... it sort of stems from the fact that Mr. Brainwash sort of instructs these people what to do. And he says, like, I don't physically do this stuff anymore. And it's sort of, he's kind of just sort of a director of sorts. Right. Yeah. he's like a film director will have basically has these ideas that come out of the script, and the director's job is to make these things happen, but very rarely is the director actually sort of like building the set.
Yeah. You know? While you have things like a director of photography.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you need your specialists, and your specialists are what make the actual finished product happen, which is why, you know, I don't really like the term a film by somebody, you know? Yeah. And I think sort of it might be a sort of commentary on filmmaking in general, because I mean, this is so wrong for Mr. Brainwash. Like, how dare you do this to art, to street art? But that is exactly what film is, and film might be the primary mode or the most popular form of art in the world right now, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
And it's sort of like maybe, I don't know, maybe they don't want street art to go the way of film. They don't want it to get popular, or they don't like...
Well, there's that part where he says, I don't really make a lot of it. I just say yes or no to things. Mm. And that's kind of like a director. It's like, he has this vision. Other people will throw a bunch of ideas, and he'll say no to the ones that don't fit in his vision and yes to the ones that do. And he's not really making those things, but he's just deciding whether or not those fit into what he wanted, right?
Yeah. And another thing is sort of like, I mean, dealing with the fact that Mr. Brainwash got so big and really, really sort of like lapped up the attention and the hype. And it's sort of like, this is him, this is him, this is him. Whereas Banksy is like, his name is known. His face isn't. He's constantly trying to avoid things. His show is smaller. And it's sort of like basically it can stand in for any artist that has influenced a big change in their art. It could be, you know, Spielberg changing, basically booting the Hollywood Renaissance out the door for the blockbuster age. And it's sort of like these people that come after kind of do things a little differently. Like Banksy is very much the sort of the street culture, say like a Spike Jonze. He doesn't, you know, it's very more, a lot more sort of, you know, inventive as far as things done in camera. Like Spike Jonze movies tend to do things as much as possible in camera. You know, they're still sort of, they always sort of have that sort of homemade vibe to them.
Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that what Where the Wild Things Are was like $100 million movie, you know?
Yeah.
But, and then there's always the, you know, I mean, the most popular things tend to not do things in camera, like a lot of CGI or 3D is a big deal. And it's sort of, I don't know, it's sort of like, and these are movies that sort of hype can buy them a box office, you know, like box office grosses. And I think it might be sort of a commentary on, Mr. Brainwash is not so much a bad thing. It's the cycle that he is able to take advantage of that is.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good point. And I never really thought about it, in like the context of a movie like that, but yeah, maybe Banksy doesn't want street art to go the way of like paparazzi and how celebrity, you know, how much celebrity culture is a part of filmmaking now.
Yeah. And another thing is that Banksy, I don't think you see directed by Banksy at any point in this movie. It's like in the credits, I believe the opening credit is a Banksy film. And I don't think you see directed by Banksy anywhere in the end credits. And I think that's sort of maybe like, you know, a Banksy film is sort of like a film. It could go either a film about Banksy or, you know, a film about Banksy's mentality, you know,
yeah.
Like, there's no real confirmation that he directed this movie. Yeah. And it's sort of like, let's give credit to as many people as possible. You know, I think that could be part of that. And I mean, I couldn't name anybody that worked on Mr. Brainwash's show, you know, like, oh, I work on, at least I can name the narrator of Exit Through the Gift Shop, you know?
Yep.
And there was a Jim Carrey who does sound or something. anyway, like, and I mean, some of the people helping Mr. Brainwash are fairly prominent in the movie, or at least in the second half. And I can't remember any of their names, right. You know?
I think the biggest topic of discussion for anybody who's seen this movie or when this movie came out is how real is this movie?
Yeah. I don't know. I go back and forth because I like the idea that that Mr. Brainwash is all sort of like Banksy broke into LA and he's like, yeah, now watch what I can do. You know, like I'm going to create an artist. But like there's no like if Terry is sort of like putting on a show, this guy is the best actor in the world. Like,
yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, there's undoubtedly part of this movie that happened. Like, no one's suggesting this is like a full on hoax and they hired Brad Pitt and like Angelina Jolie to be in background shots of this movie. Yeah. But yeah, as you said, like how much of the story is true about how they got to that point. Like, is Thierry someone who just films himself, who is cousins with Space Invader and all that kind of stuff? Yeah. Like, there are definitely things that people question about how real this movie is.
The one thing I was really, I found really curious when I was watching it again today is I'm like, why was there was no video of Terry breaking his foot. It was all done in still images. And I mean, I don't know. It seems weird to me that it was all, photos, and like then nobody went to get a video camera until he was being told by the doctor that his foot was broken.
Right.
I don't know. That seemed like the part that if something was going to be a hoax, like the broken foot could have been for sure.
Yeah. And I heard some people saying that.
I mean, it could be a stylistic choice that it was video and they just sort of took frames. But
yeah. You know. Well, I heard some people saying that him being carted out in the wheelbarrow was something that they would just do to like make him seem kind of goofy and klutzy, yeah, and not something that would actually happen in real life. Like, you would just put your arm under the guy and walk with him. One thing also people have pointed out is that when Banksy says he's going to edit the film and Thierry just goes back to LA, like, why is anybody interested in Thierry at that point?
That's a good point. Very good point.
Because he's, you know, he was never part of this main story, yep, never part of the history of street art, even if he is now because of this movie. They wouldn't have known that at the time, right?
Yeah. I guess the point there is basically once Terry goes back to L.A., then we get sort of a fade to black and it says 6 months later.
Yeah.
So there's always the chance that, and I mean, Banksy mentions hearing a little bit about Brainwash's thing, and I assume him, Brainwash and Shepard Fairey or somebody keep in touch, you know, somebody that has a line to Banksy or something. And then it's just sort of become apparent that this might be interesting. You might want to film this, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I agree that that is probably the fishiest aspect of the movie, but, I think there are logical ways to explain it as real.
Yeah. My current position, and this will probably change if I do more research or maybe watch the movie again, but I think that it's a lot of this is a hoax. Like, this movie was almost written beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some of the older footage of that Thierry claims to have got might just be older footage. And then they say Thierry shot it.
Yep.
I mean, it's tough for me to believe that if Banksy wanted a street art documentary that, I mean, there'd be documentarians clamoring to make a street art documentary, you'd think. I guess his relationship with Space Invader really helps that.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's like you said, a big part of this is trust. You know, like you have to trust a person to not only see Banks' face, which he's clearly very, tries to be very careful about people seeing.
Yeah.
But just sort of like, you know, you won't do anything stupid or, you know, turn on the light on the camera or something like that. I think I would have agreed with you the first time I saw it. First time I saw it, I was pretty like, oh, wow, so much of this is a hoax. That's really cool. But the more I've seen it for like 4.5 times now, and the more I watch it, the more it seems real. Because it's just so much stuff that seems like would be really difficult to plan out, you know?
Right.
I think anything before the show, like the Mr. Brainwash show, would be really, really hard to sort of fabricate.
Like
and,
what?
And have just like he's, I don't know. It's
and it's weird because even if it is a hoax, I mean, I'm not suggesting that the stuff at Disneyland didn't happen and they built a Disneyland set. Like, it's not like that. I mean, these things are happening in real places, and you can go back and like read news reports about that Banksy Disneyland incident. Like, that's something that did most certainly happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that this concept, and obviously not, you know, line for line, event for event, but I do think that a few years ago, Banksy had an idea to make a movie, or someone approached him about making a movie. And
I think that's very, very possible. Yeah.
And I think so much of the Thierry stuff is a complete fabrication, which makes a lot of the movie a complete hoax to me.
Okay.
Say just this was a total hoax. Could Mr. Brainwash kind of be how Banksy maybe sees himself about what he did to street art, or sees what maybe people coming after him are doing to street art?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think any artist that sort of advances the general feeling of their art or how people, you know, see this thing or that people do see this type of art.
Yeah.
I think anybody in their right mind would sort of be like, would think, is what I'm doing good? You know, like, is this actually helping my art, or is it just making it worse? You know?
Yeah.
So I think absolutely that could be it.
Yeah. And I mean, Banksy's a smart guy who clearly does a lot of reflection about himself and where art's going and stuff.
Well,
like that.
I think most artists do.
Yeah. Well, I just thought right off the get-go, just knowing the nature of Banksy's style and, you know, kind of a lot of the themes in his work. Once I saw a Banksy film, I knew that this movie wasn't going to be upfront about, like, they're going to pull a fastball somewhere and just, like, throw a curveball and something was going to be off. And I think it's, I think that this movie and Mr. Brainwash are two of Banksy's, like, longest, biggest, most ambitious works.
Oh, yeah. No, unquestionably. Look, if I found it was all a hoax and this was all planned, I would be significantly more impressed, you know? Like,
yeah. oh, yeah, for sure.
It's just sort of like, and it's that I want it to be a hoax that I think about it more and try and sort of like break it down, like why it couldn't be, like, or why things don't really work out. And because there's just, it's all so natural. Like, everybody in this movie, except for Terry, who's just a character, just seems so natural.
Yeah.
And you can't teach, like, people. I don't know. You've seen people who are untrained actors try and act, you know? It's always super awkward. And
But I mean, Banksy's has his face covered and with different voice and can do a million shots. I mean,
who do you think is... not my issue.
I mean, if this were a hoax, who do you think is in on the joke that is performing too well?
Terry, for one.
Yeah. I think he's just a super good actor, but...
Yeah. I think Shepard Fairey's a little bit too good to be in on the joke. Like, he just seems too natural. And honestly, outside of that and a camera crew, I couldn't think of a reason that anybody else would be in on the joke.
Right. Yeah. So much of this is it's like a prank stunt movie.
Yeah.
When going back and thinking about this, it is so much more like Borat than I anticipated it to be. Mm. Because, I mean, these are, if we're going to go with the hoax thing, Thierry is a character like Borat, like someone just playing somebody else, making up the story, going to a new country, and then it's kind of like a prank stunt. I mean, Borat is a documentary. It's a comedy, but it's a documentary, mockumentary, prankumentary, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
But it's kind of this character doing absurd things and getting real reactions from real people, and then you see stories in the news about it, and that becomes part of the movie when it actually gets aired. And, you know, I think that it's kind of a weird documentary in the same way that Borat or maybe Bruno is.
Yeah, I agree. I think I always thought Bruno was more interesting thematically than Borat was, even despite being a worse movie. I don't know how that happened. But I agree. I think that exit through the gift shop is so ambiguous. Like, I mean, you're making valid points, but I still don't agree. And I think that it is so ambiguous really, really kind of makes it a better movie, because it sort of validates the point of which side of this making art is right. Is it the Banksy sort of hide in the shadows and just let the art speak for itself? Or is it the Mr. Brainwash come out of the shadows and be like, hey, look at my art, it's awesome.
You know, like, there's so much of it and it's great.
Yeah. I wouldn't touch any of it with my hands, but, you know, and I think that ambiguity makes the movie better, for sure.
Okay.
And that's why, I mean, Banksy will go to his deathbed, you know, about
not telling anybody.
Yeah.
Well, and I think,
what does he have to gain from telling people?
And off the start, it really does seem like this very, very good, comprehensive history of street art. Like, it starts out as just a great documentary about a topic I'd love to see a whole documentary on. And I love the way this movie goes kind of nuts halfway through. But, you know, I there is a good history there.
Yeah.
But I think Banksy just kind of turned this into another one of his pieces of art that people scratch their heads over.
And the thing is, I think the first half of the movie is a fairly comprehensive street.
Yeah. Street art. And in the first half, other than Thierry's life and maybe taping everything, everything's appears to be true.
yeah, exactly. So I mean, I think it's sort of two movies in one, and you know, like, there's a very even, like, there's a line where you can draw where it stops becoming about street art and starts becoming about, you know, art.
Yeah.
And it's the 6 months later moment, you know.
Right.
And yeah, I think that makes the movie more interesting, and, you know, again, super interesting movie.
Do you think that it not being true all the way to the end could, I mean, I know you don't think it's as hoaxy as I do, but do you see, it's tough because it still got nominated for Best Documentary. Mm-hmm. Do you think it not being a very straight up honest documentary took it out of its running of actually winning it? And the Academy just wanted to say, you know, this was a good movie. We want to show its appreciation to it, but we couldn't put it in any of these other categories, so we'll put it in Best Documentary.
Look, no, I think it is a documentary. And like you said, Borat is a documentary. Borat just wouldn't get nominated for Best Documentary, you know, because like Academy would never play that. I mean, there was just so much hype around Exit Through the Gift Shop that the Academy had to be like, okay, we're hip, we'll do this, whatever. We'll give you the hope that a group of monkeys will come up on stage to a group of Banksy monkeys will come up on stage to accept the award. But no, I mean, and I'm always very vocal about kind of hating the Academy Awards and the way they do things. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Just that the idea that it wasn't the best documentary last year is insane.
Yeah. Well, I think I would disagree that even if they thought it was funny enough, they wouldn't call Borat a documentary because it's 100%, well, not 100%, but it's so false. Whereas at least this one started off as a real documentary.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I guess it becomes sort of, I don't know, what is the benefit of, how does any piece of art benefit from making its intentions known up front?
Mm? Yeah. Stay away from these super abstract questions. I just think that it's the way.
That's a question. I mean, like, that applies to movies, you know?
Yeah, but I think
it's for popularity.
I know, but with a documentary, I think that documentary means real to people. Like, in the same way that you wouldn't call The Office a reality series, even though so much of it looks like a reality series because it's scripted and these people are acting as characters that aren't them. Mm-hmm. I think that takes it out of that category. And that's why I don't think Borat would have been considered. And I think that the only reason this gets considered is because the first half is super straight documentary.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah. And on that subject, I mean, people always talk about, you hear it with modern art, you kind of hear it with like screamo and like thrash metal and stuff, where people's argument against why it's not good is like, oh, I could do this, or my kid could do this. Like, if I really wanted to, I could go out there and scream into the mic and no one would understand what I'm saying, and I could thrash on a guitar, right?
Yeah.
And I always thought a cool documentary would be someone who full on just said like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm totally going to fake my way into this culture and get to the top of it. And I think this movie's the closest I'm ever going to get to it.
Yeah.
I was very happy that even partly happened.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great movie. I mean, maybe you remember me telling you about it last summer when I saw it. I was like, yeah, you need to see this movie and you shouldn't find out anything about it before you watch it.
And I'm very happy I did. I did no research about this. Yeah. I knew Banksy was in it and that's it.
Yeah. No, it's a great movie. And I mean, of Social Network and maybe Inception, I think it was the best movie last year.
Okay. Mm. And I mean, this isn't like our Twilight podcast. This is a movie we both like.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice.
This is good.
It's a nice comeback.
I just want to talk a bit more about Shepard Fairey in that Andre the Giant Obey sticker that he's known for. And, I mean, I'm not, just hypothetically, what does that sticker mean? Like, if you were to ask somebody what that sticker meant, what do you think they'd be able to say?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, even Shepard Fairey, when he dresses it, doesn't say there's any inherent meaning to it. Yep. And I've been looking around and trying to get kind of an idea of what he meant by this. And the answer I'm coming up with is nothing.
Yeah.
And it's not really about, it's kind of sort of like a medium is the message kind of thing. It's, this really has no inherent content. It's just about having you rethink this wall. And I heard some cool terms to describe it was concave graffiti. Like, it kind of just leads into more things, or as like sort of a portal inward. And so it's not so much about, it's not really a sticker about Andre the Giant. It's a sticker about this wall and every other message that you've ever read in your life. And I think it's kind of, this movie sort of functions in the same way, where it just provides a lot more questions than answers, really.
Yeah.
It kind of just gives you a jumping off point to look at art and celebrity and street art and modern culture altogether, right?
And is that not the most entertaining or the most interesting type of art, you know?
Like, yeah, exactly.
So, and that's kind of the point I'm getting at, is that, I mean, the other movies I mentioned sort of from last year that I really liked sort of ask these same questions as opposed to giving answers. Ask questions as opposed to giving answers. And I mean, it's generally accepted that the most interesting art asks questions instead of answering them. Like, the reason Do the Right Thing is interesting is because you know, is it the right thing that he threw the garbage can through the window?
Yeah.
And it's that the movie is so good is around that one question.
Yeah.
And I mean, same with, you know, No Country for Old Men, you know, you could ask a variety of questions from that.
Yeah.
Basically any great movie, you know, or
yeah.
any great piece of art. You
yeah.
know?
It's not really about spoon feeding you an idea, but like really forcing you to make your own ideas.
Yeah. Like the point of art is to make you think, and, any art that, well, I mean, you know, debatably the point of art is to make you think, but, at least art I'm interested in is, or the most interested in is the art that makes me think the most, yeah. you know? I like to think when I'm watching something.
Yeah. Hey, we kind of did get to some of those abstract questions about
paradise. Yeah. I knew it would happen.
Yeah. I just wanted to end this on one quote that Banksy spokesperson actually says in this movie. It is a quote from Banksy that I think kind of sums up a lot of things we've been talking about questions versus answers, and kind of in talking about the whole Mr. Brainwash experiment, I guess you could call it, and maybe the film as a whole. Banksy says, I think the joke is on. I don't know who the joke is on.
Yeah.
I don't even know that there is a joke, really. And I think that's a good way to kind of sum up everything,
yeah.
that you're not even sure what you just witnessed there, but you're going to think on a different level about things now. And as you said, that's kind of the best you could hope for in a movie or any art, really.
Exactly. So, yeah. Nice work, Banksy, or whoever actually directed this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Keep it up.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks for listening to The MacGuffin Men, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The MacGuffin Men. This episode has been brought to you by ancient civilizations depicted on film. Of course we all sounded British. Be sure to check out themacguffinmen.com for supplementary links, articles, and more. Thanks for listening.
Do you know why you got feelings in your heart? Don't let fear of feeling fool you. What you see sets you apart. And there's nothing here to bind you. It's no way for life to start. Do you know that tonight the streets are there to heal, dear, and make tears things of the past.